From Spark and Anvil and Bridgeforge, this is Peer, in Chapter 1 of the Bridgeforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Peer was a badger tween, smaller than most her age. Her fur was thick, banded gray, cream, and black, like a well-loved cartoon character. She moved with a patient, steady grace. Tucked into her vest pocket lived a small, folded data table. Beside it, a magnifying glass hung on a brass chain. These were the artifacts of her craft. The magnifying glass helped her read the tiny numbers inked on the paper. Her craft was simple, yet vital, connecting numbers and people. Many thought the bridge between math and social studies was just statistics. Statistics alone, Peer knew, told only half the story. The other half was always about the people those numbers represented. A census table without context was just a grid of figures. But a census table read with the people in mind, who moved, when, why, what happened to their lives, became a living story. Peer's whole craft was bringing these two halves together. This connection was incredibly important. Peer taught that data without people was a dangerous thing. Statistics, even if technically accurate, could be humanly empty. Imagine a line that said, between 1845 and 1855, the Irish population dropped by approximately 25%. That fact was true, but it told you nothing about the Great Famine, the desperate emigration ships to Boston, or the families that fractured forever. Peer's job was to teach kids to read both halves. The numbers were half the bridge, the people were the other half. Peer never let anyone believe that data was more important than the people. Numbers plus people, she would say, her voice calm and clear. The data is half the story. The people are the other half. Data without people is misleading. People without data is just anecdote. Together they form the bridge. She also made sure students remembered which people the data was about. Every data table tells us about specific people, she'd explain. When you read a census, you're reading about specific families. Election data shows specific voters. Always hold the people in mind while you read the data.
The math-social studies bridge, as Peer taught it, held firm at the level of specific data telling specific stories about specific people. It wasn't enough to say, history has numbers and math has numbers. That was too vague. Instead, Peer would point to the 1850 U.S. Census. It recorded specific migration patterns, she'd say. The math shows us the percentages and the rates, but the story is about the people who moved and why. Peer had grown up in a small village. Her family had been the village's census keepers for generations. They were the badgers who maintained the annual records of population and livelihoods. This work always required a careful balance between the raw data and the lives it represented. A census might list three new families, but it didn't say who they were, where they came from, or why they had arrived in the village. Peer's grandmother had taught her that the census was a starting place for asking those questions. It was never an ending place that replaced them. When Peer walked to the Bridgeforge Academy at 22, Archie, the head of the academy, had asked her a single question. What is the math-social studies bridge? Peer had unfolded her small data table. She pointed to a column of numbers, then swept her paw across an empty space. It is data narrative connection, she'd replied. Numbers plus people. The data is half the story. The people are the other half. Together, they are the bridge. The math gives the structure. The people give the meaning. Without the people, the data is misleading. Without the data, the people are anecdote. Archie had simply nodded. You are appointed, he'd said.
In her workshop, Peer began every first day lesson the same way. She would carefully unfold her data table on the desk. Its creases were soft from years of use. Then she would hold up her magnifying glass, letting the light catch its brass frame. I am Peer, she would say, her voice gentle but firm. The bridging primitive I teach is math, social studies. The bridge is data narrative, numbers plus people. Today, we will read this data table, she would tap the paper. Then we will ask who the people in this data are. The data is half the story. The people are the other half. She taught her students a series of steps, like building blocks for the math social studies bridge. First, she'd instruct, pointing to a column, we identify the specific data. Which data set is this? Which columns are we looking at? What time period? Which population? Next, they would read the headline statistic. What does the data say on the surface? Peer would ask. Just the basic facts.
Then came the crucial step. Ask, who are these numbers about? She'd guide them to think beyond the digits. Are these specific families, specific communities, a particular demographic group? A student once asked what demographic meant. Peer explained, it means a group of people sharing a common trait, like everyone born in the same year or everyone living in the same town. After that, Peer continued, we look for what the data does not show. Statistics often leave out groups of people, especially in older records. Ask yourselves, who is counted here and who is uncounted? She gave an example from an old village census that only listed heads of households, usually men. It counted the men, but what about the women and children? They were there, but not in the numbers. Then we cross-check with first-person accounts. Peer would pull out a worn diary or a copy of an old letter. The people in the data often left other traces, diaries, letters, oral histories. Find them. They tell us the human side. Finally, they would bring the two halves together. The bridge is the joint reading, Peer emphasized. The data structures the story humanizes the data. She also taught them to watch for misleading framings. A percentage drop can hide absolute increases, she'd explained. Averages can hide how varied things really are. Demographic categories can hide differences within those groups. Peer's role was to help them spot these tricks.
Data can be true and misleading at the same time, she'd say, her gaze steady. That percentage drop line is technically accurate, and it tells you nothing about the people who moved. Both halves matter. I have learned to distrust statistics without stories, and I have learned to distrust stories without statistics. The bridge is the joint. When students asked Peer if the math social studies bridge was hard, Peer always gave the same answer. It is not hard, she would say, refolding her data table with practiced ease. It is data plus people. The data is half the story. The people are the other half. Together, they are the bridge. The next data set waited, ready to be read with people in mind. Peer loved that moment most, the one where a student stopped seeing a grid of figures and started seeing families, their face going soft and sad and kind all at once. It made her feel warm and steady, the quiet gladness of watching someone get remembered. That was the whole reason she carried the folded paper in her pocket.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to peer. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.